These psalms show God as a rock, a shield, a saviour and worthy of praise. And together they teach reliance on God, faith in his justice and gratitude for his strength and salvation in times of trouble.
This is Mission 66, taking you through the Word of God from the ministry of Bible teacher and pastor, Dr. Luis Seau. In partnership with Transworld Radio, Mission 66 is produced and heard around the world in several languages. Let's hear from our teacher, John Matthews, and his co-host, Esther Sisulu, as they start us off today in our survey of God's Word.
Today, we continue our look into the Psalms, and we're going to take three of them, Psalm 16, 17, and 18, with our teacher, John Matthews, leading the way. Our theme for today is Faith, Justice, and Thankfulness.
Esther, thank you so much, and a very, very warm welcome to this latest episode of Mission 66. Wherever you're joining us from today, wherever you are, whatever your situation, it is good to have your company. So good to be with you as we continue with reflections on this great book of Psalms, many of which were written by Israel's King David. And today we are at Psalms 16, 17 and 18. And the theme of today's discussion, as mentioned by Esther there, is faith, justice and gratitude. But first of all, let me just give you an overview, starting with Psalm 16, which highlights the psalmist David's confidence in God. He didn't have an easy life, as well we know. Even though he was chosen by God to be king, replacing King Saul, throughout his life he was beset with enemies who were either relatives, friends of Saul, and felt that David was usurping the throne out of greed and a lust for power. But Psalm 16 speaks profoundly about David's security in God, and it demonstrates his faith and tranquility and the faith and tranquility that he's gifted as a result of believing in God. And that all stems from the way that he worships and prioritizes God as the true God who guides him safely and who can be so trusted to look after David's days and his life. Then Psalm 17 presents a slightly different scenario, because here the psalmist appeals for justice. He's troubled by the circumstances surrounding his life at this stage, and he prays for deliverance from his enemies, affirming his innocence. And he doesn't claim to be entirely faultless or sinless, of course, but he understands that God will deal with him based on his attempts to do the right thing, to conduct himself rightly. And then Psalm 18, as previously mentioned in our study of 2 Samuel 22, reiterates the content, actually, of that chapter. It's a psalm of gratitude. It's a personal hymn of thanksgiving to God for his immense blessings and victories. And David perceives his salvation not merely as something personal or individual, but as something far greater than that, that culminates in the recognition of God's action in his dynasty. And it ultimately points towards this messianic hope that looks ahead to the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. So let's read each of these psalms, and then we can discuss them as we go. So Psalm 16, first of all, it's called a Miktam of David. Now, I don't know what that means, but it is a designation of this type of psalm, which meant something to the ones who were singing it, or the musicians indeed who were accompanying. So let's read Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, well, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so, that is a hopeful and a glad psalm. And Esther, what are your thoughts as I was reading that?
Yeah. Well, you know, something that David mentions here, he talks about the offerings of blood he will not pour out. Now, what is that?
Well, that refers to pagan sacrifices and idolatrous practices. So the Baal worshippers would drink blood as part of their ceremonies. In fact, sometimes they would lance themselves to make their own blood pour out. So David is distancing himself from all of that. In fact, he says that he would not even say the names of those false gods with his own lips.
Clearly standing firmly there is David. And then when he says, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. So what lines is he referring to here?
Well, that likely refers to David's willingness to be satisfied with whatever God sends him as far as experiences or actual land as a possession or whatever it was in terms of, you know, the lines, the boundary lines around his life. And he looks about his life and he has this sense of gratitude saying, all this and heaven too, thank you, Lord. And he continues saying, I will praise the Lord who counsels me even at night. My heart instructs me. He has thought processes because he's close to God that he can rely on. And at night, these thoughts come his way about how to do life, about how to govern, about how to manage himself. And there's wisdom in it because God is at the center of it. And it reveals personal growth and meditation happening during the night hours as well as the day. Sometimes when we can't sleep, don't we reflect on things? And sometimes those things are really deep and important things, eternal things, such as God's action, his guidance, and what his plans are for our lives.
And, you know, as we move towards the end of the psalm now, he says, you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. Okay, so I know we've talked about Sheol being the land of the dead, but is this verse looking ahead to the Messiah? Is it talking about Jesus's resurrection?
Yeah, I believe it is, Esther. You know, in the book of Acts, Peter references this very psalm in his sermon at Pentecost, explaining that David spoke prophetically about the resurrection of Jesus. It can't have meant David because David's body did decay, but Jesus' resurrection fulfills the promise that the Holy One would not see corruption. And Paul said the same thing when he was preaching in Antioch. And remember, of course, we have access to the history of what happened in a way that David doesn't. But he's moved here, is David, by the Holy Spirit to write such a thing in his psalm, and it proves to be prophetic. So let's move on then to Psalm 17, which says this. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From your presence let my vindication come. Let your eyes behold the right. You have tried my heart. You have visited me by night. You have tested me, and you will find nothing. I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. With regard to the works of man, by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. Now, again, these earlier Psalms of David, you could say, hint at a little bit of self-righteousness, saying, look, I've not done anything wrong. My foot hasn't slipped. And evidently, this is written before he'd become king and had that affair with Bathsheba, which devastated or certainly had a huge impact on his life thereafter. And so the Psalms that he composed after that particular incident, well, they bore an entirely different tone. They talked about how God had disciplined him severely and how his whole body ached with the tension of a guilty conscience, how blessed it was to be at last forgiven for the terrible mess that he had made. But here he goes on in verse 6 to say, I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Saviour of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who do me violence, my deadly enemies who surround me. They close their hearts to pity. With their mouths they speak arrogantly. They have now surrounded our steps. They set their eyes to cast us to the ground. He is like a lion eager to tear, as a young lion lurking in ambush. Arise, O Lord, confront him, subdue him, deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword, from men by your hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is in this life. You fill their womb with treasure. They are satisfied with children, and they leave their abundance to their infants. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. Esther, do you have anything on that psalm?
Well, firstly, acknowledging these powerful words from David, but who is he talking about here in verse 14 when he says, deliver me from men whose portion is in this life?
Well, he's referring there to people whose hearts and minds are set against God, and they are completely consumed with the here and the now, with this life. And they may well be people who seem to get the best jobs and positions, and they might run fast and loose with other people's money. They may seem to get away with an awful lot. But the reality is, and David alludes to that here, that their rewards and their blessings are for this life only. David knows that those whose hearts are hard to God, wicked maybe even, and against God, will one day be confronted by the reality of their mortality, of the fact that there is an afterlife, and there are two places, there is heaven and there is hell. And all of their wealth built up during their days here on earth will profit them not one tiny little bit. David knew he was so much better off serving God in this life, even if it meant a life of suffering, because the promise to come is immeasurable. Oh, yes, it's a better life, but so much better, so that the words don't even do it scant justice. In Mission 66, here we are, and we move on then to the last of these three psalms, which is Psalm 18, a little longer than the two we've just read, but it's of a similar style and subject matter. And the footnote here says David had addressed these words to God on the day when the Lord rescued him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And this account is from Samuel chapter 22, but this is Psalm 18. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. And in my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. And from his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. David uses poetic language to use the distress he was feeling as he is near, very near, to being captured by his enemies. Verse 7, then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Verse 8. And he speaks figuratively here about how God is angry with David's attackers. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire, and he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me. For they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from my guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem tortuous, for you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. You gave a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and overtook them, and did not turn back until they were consumed. I thrust them through, so they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, and those who hated me I destroyed. They cried for help, but there was none to save. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. I beat them fine as dust before the wind. I cast them out like the mire of the streets. You delivered me from strife with the people. You made me the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners came cringing to me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who rescued me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me about those who rose against me. You delivered me from the man of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. So Psalm 18 there emphasizes gratitude to God for his mighty deliverance from death. And these three psalms clearly demonstrating God's action in the lives of individual people and in the history of his people. Psalm 16, the focus is faith and security. Psalm 17, the focus is justice. And then Psalm 18, it's all about gratitude.
John, I could listen to you read these words of thankfulness all day, but I do have a couple more questions. And I want us to have a look at Psalm 17, verse 15, because the psalmist says, "When I awake, I'll be satisfied with your likeness." So it seems like he's talking about life after death. Is that correct to assume?
Yeah, I believe so. And in fact, this is one of the places, Esther, in the Old Testament that does raise the hope of a better life to come. The book of Job is another of those. And what I think is noteworthy is that this psalm is a plea for justice. The question being asked is, when will God ever come and set things right? Well, David knows that every evil act is going to be punished and that justice will prevail. But the question is, when? And often, you know, justice doesn't seem to occur immediately at all. And the wicked don't seem to suffer the consequences of their actions right away, whilst the righteous yet frequently endure hardship. But wait a little while and see.
Mm-hmm. Well, another question coming up now from Psalm 18. You mentioned earlier that this psalm connects to the text in 2 Samuel chapter 22. But here, you know, it seems like stormy weather is being forecast, right? We read about thunder, lightning, dark clouds, hailstorms, water everywhere. Could you explain what the meanings are here?
Yeah, well, Esther, there are two key points here. The first is that in ancient Baal worship, storms and rain were celebrated because they were attributed to their gods. And so many ancient myths discussed forces of evil and chaos that were often symbolised by turbulent waters. Some scholars, for example, see a possible connection with Genesis 1, where God's spirit hovers over the waters. Now, it's possible that the stormy imagery in Psalm 18 symbolises God's power over chaos and his supremacy over the Baals. It demonstrates, of course, that he is the all-powerful God who has authority over all things.
All right, well, to wrap up now, looking at Psalm 18, verse 41, it mentions David's enemies crying out to the Lord, but the Lord didn't respond. You know, I'd imagine that David's enemies weren't believers, were they?
Well, actually, in this case, Esther, they were. They were part of the people of Israel. But Psalm 18 telling us that David sang these words when the Lord had delivered him from Saul's hands. Now, Saul's men were part of the people of Israel as well, so the passage is referring to these internal conflicts, even among those who knew the true God. And, well, look, that happens. And, you know, in many disputes, both parties may claim God is on their side, but of course he has the final say.
Oh, yeah, he most certainly does. Well, let's go ahead and summarize these Psalms for our friends, John.
Sure, let's do that. Well, Psalms 16, 17 and 18 emphasize David's trust, God's protection and our praise to God for all his benefits. Psalm 16 reflecting confidence in God's refuge, his provision and eternal joy for the faithful. Psalm 17 is a prayer for deliverance, where the psalmist is seeking God's protection, his justice, his deliverance from surrounding enemies. And then Psalm 18 is a song of gratitude, which describes God's power in delivering the psalmist, answering his prayers from that murderous intent of King Saul. And it highlights God as a rock, as a shield, as a saviour who is worthy of praise. And you know, together these psalms, they teach reliance upon God, faith in his justice, and gratitude for his strength and salvation, which is fulsome in times of trouble, especially.
And it's indeed with that thankful note that we end today's episode of Mission 66. Friend, I hope that you will take the time to dig into the Word of God further as we continue looking in the book of Psalms. Well, friend, I'm Esther for John and our entire team. We hope to join you next time here on Mission 66.
That wraps up today's episode of Mission 66 with John Matthews and Esther Sisulu. Follow their daily teaching by downloading your free study guide at mission66.org. Go deeper into God's Word and discover how each day's teaching can apply to your life. Download your free study guide at mission66.org and have it for our next program. That's also where you can leave a comment or make a donation to continue Mission 66 here and around the world. That's mission66.org. Mission 66 is a ministry of Transworld Radio in partnership with Dr. Luis Seau.